Father, I come to you today in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, and I pray for those that are out there listening to these series of messages that I put out on a weekly basis, Lord God. I pray for those that are struggling with sin right now and the weight that is besetting them from following after you with their whole heart. I pray, God, that you will heal them from their fractured souls, from past wounds, and from being violated, Lord God, in their childhood. I pray earnestly, Lord God, for those that are struggling with their sexuality because of molestation and rape. For those, Lord God, who are struggling with self-hatred from a broken spirit, from a broken will. Those who have issues, Lord God, of insecurity. They're struggling with low self-esteem, low self-worth. Some that are struggling, Lord God, with alcoholism, substance abuse, suicidal thoughts, Lord God. I break every yoke, every fetter, every chain in the name of Jesus, and I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over their lives right now. I pray, God, that you'll go in and that you'll heal every hurt and pain. Heal them from rejection and abandonment issues. Heal them from abuse and neglect. Heal them from fear and restore the years, Lord God, that the canker worm and palmer worm and caterpillar destroyed. Give them a new identity in Christ and put them, Lord God, in their right frame of mind. Bring them back, Lord, to their original state. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Remind them, Lord, that there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. I want to remind you today that there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. No matter what yoke you're struggling with, Jesus Christ is able to deliver you from it. You don't have to turn to drugs. You don't have to turn to alcohol. You don't have to turn to sex or suicide. There is healing in the name of Jesus. And if you call upon his name, he is able to salvage your life from the current state that it might be in. That is what salvation means. It means that God comes to the dumpyard of sin and salvages your life and restores you to the awesome and valuable being you were meant to be. If you are in that state right now, as long as you are alive, it's never too late. Call upon him. Call upon the name of Jesus. I know it's uncharacteristics or even unfamiliar for me to start off this way, but I really felt the need. This morning I was praying earlier on that this is how we needed to start it off today. I needed to start off praying because I never ever want to take it for granted that there might be somebody out there who's tuning into what I have to say on a weekly basis and they're going through some stuff in their lives and they don't know how to get through. I've been there. We might not share the same issues, but I've had some things that I've had to walk through in my life. Still, I'm walking through, and I've had to learn to call on the name of Jesus. And I want to tell you, it is not a cliche. There is power in the name of Jesus, and he is able to break chains from off of your life because he's done it for me, and I can bear witness to that effect. I want to welcome you back to the Building According to Pattern podcast series. I'm your host, Georgia Bryce, and I'm hoping that you had a productive week and that this week coming up is going to be productive for you as well. My week last week was busy as usual, but I'm always thankful that I have the opportunity to come back on and share with you each time. Now, we have been talking for the past two segments on the issues of sight and how critical it is to our lives. And it's very difficult to get anything done, whether it's physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, every alley you could think of, if our sight is limited. We're talking about more than just the ability to see in the physical realm, but more along the lines of the ability to envision. It is seeing from within, from your mind's eye, and it's being able to see or perceive something that doesn't exist right at this particular point in time. And as we delved into our manual for living, we have been searching for the principles that's detailed in our area of study. And that is in the book of Genesis, chapter 13, verse 14 through 17. And we've been hammering home the truth that the Bible should not be read as a religious book. It's not a religious exercise every time you pick up that word. It's not a religious book. When we approach it as such, there is no joy in reading it, and we suffer tremendously because what we need to know about how we should live and function, how we need to make right decisions and right choices, how we need to think, how we need to conduct ourselves, how to overcome bad habits and sins and weights, how to make relationships work, and how to maintain relationships, and so much more. They're all written in this wonderful book. So when you let it sit on your desktop or on your shelf and it just gathers dust and you never touch it except on a Sunday morning if you're going to service, you're not benefiting at all. You're missing out on so much. I want you to think of the Bible as your manual for living, because that's exactly what it is. Every product comes with a manual, and you are no different. Our master designer and manufacturer detailed how we could operate optimally in the manual he compiled for our lives that's called the Bible. And if you need troubleshooting and recalibrating because something went wrong somewhere in your life, all the answers you're looking for, they're in that manual. There were two principles we looked at that are essential to optimizing your sight or your ability to see. Principle number one we discovered was that the depth of your perception is tied squarely to the state of your union or the relationship with your manufacturer. And principle number two, without a secure connection to your manufacturer, your thinking will be predominantly one-dimensional. And when we said one-dimensional, it means that it lacks depth or scope. There's no substance to your thinking. For those who are hearing this podcast for the first time, the previous segments on this topic are available on my podcast page, so you have an opportunity to get this message in its entirety. And that address is bataplc.podbean.com. Alternately, you could go on Google. If you type the name of my organization, that's Building According to Pattern, that should take you to a link. If you click on that link, it will take you directly to the podcast page. You stand to benefit even more if you listen to the previous segments. That's parts one and part two. Today, we're attempting to wrap up this conversation on sight. And our focus is on the idea of seeing from a multi-generational perspective. Now, all three aspects, multi-dimensional thinking, multi-directional thinking, and multi-generational thinking, they're all important. But I really believe that thinking from a multi-generational perspective is probably the most critical. And here's why. Thinking multi-generationally means giving voice to the future. You see, no matter your level of success and achievement in this present day, if there is no one to transfer your legacy to when you die, it dies with you. Imagine working and slaving real hard and for a long time to get your business or your dream or your vision off the ground. Investing, as it were, your blood, your sweat, your tears, your time, your energy, but having absolutely no one to pass it on to in the end. You would have invested, what, maybe 30, 40 years of your life? And for what? If when you die, it's going to die with you. God only thinks in terms of generation, and when he talks, he does so in like manner. He's never only concerned about the here and now, but he is always looking out for your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grands. To think multi-generationally means that today we see an apple, but in 5 years from now, that one apple has the potential to give rise to an apple orchard. But this can only happen when your thinking is skewed in that general direction. Your manufacturer makes that possible because he is the only one who is able to give you insight into your future. What your life could be 10, 20, or even 40 years from now. Note, I said could be, because even though your future is guaranteed by virtue of the purpose you were born to fulfill, your arrival into your destiny rests heavily upon the decisions and the choices you make every single solitary day of your life. When you think from a multi-generational perspective, you will weigh your decisions with more gravity, seriousness, and focus. After all, you are not just living for you in the here and now. I do not have my twins, Deborah and David, as of yet. And yes, you heard me all right. But I choose very carefully how I live my life during this present moment, because there's a substantial legacy I want to leave for them and their children's children long after I leave the scene. And it's not only in terms of my own anticipated biological children, but for all people of my generation and of the next generations to come. We're benefiting from the legacies left behind by Dr. Martin Luther King, Mother Teresa, Mahatma Gandhi, and so many other great men and women who in their time were not only thinking of themselves, but of those of us who would come behind. And guess what? They don't even know us, and we're not related to them at all. And yet, how they chose to live their lives is still having an impact on ours decades later. That's exactly how you were designed to think and live. And a continuous connection with your manufacturer will also keep this truth in perspective. So now let's take a look at the chapter from our manual we've been studying for the last week or so to see what truths we could glean from it in this regard. And we're going back to Genesis chapter 13, verse 14 through 17. This is what it says. After Lot separated from him, God said to Abraham, "Open your eyes, look around, look north, south, east, and west. Everything you see, the whole land spread out before you, I will give it to you and your children forever. I'll make your descendants like dust. Counting your descendants will be as impossible as counting the dust of the earth. So on your feet, get moving. Walk through the country, its length and breadth. I'm giving it all to you." God was looking into forever. Abraham was simply the starting point, the Genesis, the apple, just as you are. The vision for your life is not just for you. It's for you and your children's children. Your manufacturer designed you with posterity in mind, just like Abraham. The question is, however, will you make it? Are you postured to make it? Independent of God, that's never going to happen. You know why? It's simple. We were never designed to operate independent of him. But you see, Georgia, there's so many people who are successful and making lots of money, living the good life without any regards for God. Oh yeah? Well, here is some insight. Go check some of these very people. Check these same people that we're talking about. Go check their family life. With all the money in the world, their kids can't seem to stay out of jail. They can't seem to stay unhooked from drugs or alcohol. They can't seem to escape the lure of gangs, illicit activities, and suicide. It happens every day. Go read the news. Now here's a scoop on Lot. Because he never consulted with his master manufacturer concerning where he should settle his family. Because he looked at the plains of Jordan, Sodom and Gomorrah, and from his limited sight or perspective, it seemed like the right direction in which to go. Because he chose to be independent and rely on his own limited ability and insight, he paid a very heavy price in the end. Talk about one generational thinking. This was the epitome. Lot saw in one dimension only, and so moved in the only direction he could see. He lacked sight and he lacked insight. Had Lot known that going to Sodom and Gomorrah was going to forever alter his family life and generations to come, he likely would have chosen differently. Had he known that as fertile and as well-watered and lush the land of Sodom and Gomorrah looked before him, that it was only an illusion, he probably would have thought twice. The land was indeed fertile because it was designed to be. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah were fertile because they were designed to be fruitful. They were given the capacity to produce, to reproduce, and to multiply. In fact, they were blessed or activated to be. But because of their declared independence from God, they were anything but. Sodom and Gomorrah became a sterile environment. What could have been was not. And for Lot's daughters, it was devastating. There were seed bearers in their midst, but because of an incapacitated will, these two women, Lot's children, who were meant to produce the next generation, who would give rise to the next, and so on, unfortunately and devastatingly were short-circuited. Isn't it interesting how people with limited sight and limited thinking tend to gravitate to those of light mind? What are your friends seeing? In what direction are they moving? How is their thinking? Newsflash. It's a reflection of your current state of affairs. So if what you see in them is disturbing to you, this might be a good time to check out. The story doesn't end there because, you see, Lot's daughters did finally give birth to the next generation. But the means by which they had to was unthinkable and disturbing, even for our progressive and ever-evolving postmodern society. After the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot found himself in a cave with his two daughters, since by then his wife was dead. As it is narrated further in Genesis 19, verse 30 to 38, his daughters, having lost their husbands and seeing any hope of having children quickly fade away, looked at their elderly father and came up with the inconceivable idea of plying him with alcohol to the point where he had no capacity of mind. One by one, they set their plan in motion to get their father drunk so that they could sleep with him. And sleep with him they did. All in an effort to preserve the seed of their father. Imagine having to trick your father into having sex with you so you could get pregnant. Not a very pleasant thought. The result of Lot's daughter's actions? The nations of Ammon and Moab, which were forever antagonistic to the nation of Israel, was born or were born. It was these two nations who later conspired with the prophet of Balaam to curse the people of Israel. From the plains of the Jordan and the place that looked like the Garden of Eden to the cave of Zoar, a long fall from grace that Lot never saw coming because he lacked sight. Now here's a takeaway for us, since there's nothing new under the sun. Because we're limited in our own ability to see, not because of a defect, but by design, decisions made independent of our manufacturer's input will eventually require or even demand of us to produce our own means of sustaining them. Whatever you give birth to from your own fleshly capacity will have to be maintained and sustained by your own means. You will have to generate your own solutions out of your capacity, by your own ability, your own strength, and your own limited device or mechanism. Let me tell you right now, for someone who has walked that path, it's not worth it. It costs too much, and in the end, you're gonna lose anyway. It's inevitable. Your limited sight could cause you to give birth to something that may end up haunting you for the rest of your life, and your generations could end up paying the price as well and suffering because of it. There is a legacy that your manufacturer has in mind for your generations that is tied to the vision he has for your life. Get with him, find out what that vision is, align your life with his plans. And coming into your expected end is guaranteed. In our manual, it is stated clearly in Proverbs 13, verse 22, that good people leave an inheritance to their grandchildren. They think from a multi-generational perspective. The inheritance goes way beyond material possession and wealth. Leaving a legacy also means passing on the ability to be resilient. So that your children will know how to stand the test of time, know how to handle the stresses of life without turning to drugs, alcohol, or even suicide. Statistically, it is said that suicide is the second leading cause of death among college students. I wonder why. Leaving a legacy means helping your children understand that no person or substance on earth has the capacity to resolve the issues of their soul. Their will, their mind, and their emotions. But God, their master designer and manufacturer, has the ability to troubleshoot and recalibrate as is necessary. Leaving a legacy means fostering in your children a dependent attitude towards God and giving them the understanding that without Him, they can do nothing, but through Him, they can accomplish anything. Leaving a legacy means creating an awareness and an understanding in your children that they were born with a purpose and that all they need to fulfill this purpose and make it into their destiny has been given to them from birth. That school doesn't give them purpose, but that an education simply activates and nurtures what is already there. Leaving a legacy means cultivating an attitude of altruism, selflessness, getting them to think about the needs of others, and preparing them to give birth to the next generation. But all of this begins with you. It means getting your sight in order first. You have work to do. Let's get up to speed. Father, we're open to you. We're completely dependent on you. We cannot see the way you can. So we put our hands in yours and we ask you to pave the way for us. Lead and we will follow you. And where we have messed up in times past and we've given birth to things that are now haunting us, have mercy on us and give us grace to handle these circumstances. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining me once again on the Building According to Pattern podcast series. I hope that you were tremendously blessed and challenged by these segments, and that making the changes you need to run into your destiny is now imminent more than ever. The generations to come are depending on us to get it right. If you are in the mood, and if you're looking for a refresher, I'm going to invite you to visit my podcast page as often and listen as often as you'd like to the previous discussions that are posted. And do share the information with someone that you know might benefit from this kind of information that we have available, or these series of teachings that we're putting out. The address for my podcast page, again, it's batplc.podbean.com. And I'm also inviting you to check out additional postings on my YouTube channel. And that address is, if you go on YouTube, simply type in Building According to Pattern LLC. It's going to take you to my YouTube channel. Click on that link and all the information is there. There's additional stuff that is not on my podcast page, but it's going to be available in my YouTube. Do feel free to leave your comments and your feedback, because that's going to help me. It's going to let me know if what I'm doing is making sense and if you're benefiting from it. And for those people who may have questions or concerns, please feel free to send me an email. That email address is info@buildingaccordingtopattern.com. And that is one entire word. I want to thank you again for joining me. Let's meet again this Wednesday for another in our series. And until then, be blessed, stay blessed, and take care. Bye.